Welcome to the Homeschool Sanity Show, your weekly prescription for happier, healthier homeschool living. I'm your host, Dr. Melanie Wilson, Christian psychologist turned homeschooling mother of six.
Hey, homeschoolers. Are you worried that you're not doing this homeschooling thing right? If that's you, and I know that's the case for many of my listeners, you'll love my guest's perspective on this topic in just a bit. But first, I'd like to thank our sponsor for this episode, Time for Learning.
Haven't heard of Time for Learning yet? Well, here's everything you need to know. Time for Learning is a comprehensive online curriculum for pre-K through 12th grade that is perfect for homeschooling. So much so that it is one of Kathy Duffy's 102 top picks. Time for Learning is student-paced and features adjustable grade levels, automated grading, and over 4,000 lessons and activities that are fun and engaging across all subjects. Time for Learning makes life easier for parents by providing customized reports, detailed lesson plans, and an activity planner that lets you choose the lessons you want your child to be learning. You can start, stop, or pause your membership at any time, and there's even a 14-day money-back guarantee. There's really nothing to lose. Give it a try today by visiting timeforlearning.com/ultimate homeschool and see for yourself why Time for Learning is the best homeschooling decision you'll ever make. Again, visit timeforlearning.com/ultimate homeschool today.
Now for this week's topic, how to homeschool bravely. My guest today is Jamie Erickson. Jamie is a Christian homeschooling mother of five, a fellow podcaster, and blogger behind The Unlikely Homeschool. Today we're discussing her new book, Homeschool Bravely, How to Squash Doubt, Trust God, and Teach Your Child with Confidence. I know you will love her encouragement.
Jamie, thank you so much for taking the time to join me here on the Homeschool Sanity Show. I am excited to dig into our topic today. But before we do that, I would love to hear more about you and your family and then how you began your homeschooling journey.
Well, I, again, am Jamie Erickson, and I've been married to my college sweetheart for 17 years. We have five children that we've been homeschooling since the very beginning. Our oldest is 15, and we've got kids all the way down the pike, all the way down to six. And we're actually second-generation homeschoolers because my husband was homeschooled from about sixth grade on back in the 80s and 90s when it was super weird and practically illegal. But my in-laws had the courage and the bravery to do this thing called homeschooling and go against the grain back in a time when no one else was doing it.
Wow. Well, that is really impressive. And so then why did you decide to homeschool your own kids?
Well, I was a teacher by trade, and I did that for many years, even before having kids. And it's interesting and mildly funny that my mother-in-law had approached me years before I had my first daughter, and she took me aside and she asked me if I would ever consider homeschooling, because obviously it was near and dear to her heart after she had invested so many years at it with her own kids. And I'm sorry to say that I actually laughed in her face, not out of disrespect, but it was just so not even in my wheelhouse. I had no idea or wasn't even thinking that direction. I was a school teacher, and I just thought that being a teacher was just the natural thing for a mom. I mean, all my kids would be at school with me. It was the perfect gig anyway. Mm-hmm. My kids would be at school with me. They'd have the same vacation days as I would. They'd have days off, and our schedules would just run parallel to each other. It looked like on paper that I had the perfect spot as a mom. And actually, shortly before having children, I was actually teaching at a small Christian school that offered all the teachers free tuition for their children, as well as an in-home daycare for anybody who needed it. So by earthly standards, you know, everything was aligning that I would, you know, continue teaching and my children would just fall in line right after me. But God really did have other plans.
Mm. Wow. Well, that is the first time I've heard of a mother-in-law suggesting homeschooling.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's a huge champion for our homeschool, and I really appreciate her.
Oh, I bet you do. Okay. Well, let's jump right into our topic about homeschooling bravely. Okay. In your book called Homeschool Bravely, you mentioned that 1/3 of all new homeschool moms quit after the first year. I did not know that. That is a really interesting statistic. So I am interested in knowing why you think that is.
I think it's a big mixed bag. Everybody has their reasons, but I think you can kind of whittle it down to the fact that most moms, when they start, they lack one of two things. They lack direction. They just don't know what the next right step is. They're just sort of grasping for ideas and gathering, you know, any resources they can find, and they just feel a little lost, sometimes ill-equipped, whether that's the truth or not. They feel that, and they feel the weight of that. And I also think they really lack a tribe around them, other moms who can, you know, take their hand and say, here, I'm with you. I'll walk this road beside you, and we're going to do this together. I think homeschooling can be very isolating if you're not very intentional to seek out other moms in the trenches, moms who have gone before and who can reach back and really encourage you in your walk, and also moms who are right there on the same spot of the journey that you can kind of link arms with.
Mm-hmm. And I think you're absolutely right. And I think that especially the tribe piece of it is more of a problem today than it has been for many years.
Yeah.
And I think that's because so many homeschooling moms now have gotten into more of a private school hybrid mix, you know, where they're sending their kids to classes, but not necessarily getting together with other homeschooling moms the way that I did when I started. And I can't even imagine not having that kind of support when I was beginning my homeschooling journey.
Yeah. And I think I would never negate a mom or criticize a mom who chooses maybe a hybrid way of homeschooling. It's not for everyone, but if it meets your needs and it, you know, I always say you do you. So if that's what you need in order to homeschool and choose this path, I say lean into it hard and do it well. But I also think, I wonder if the fact that we're living in such a digital age and we feel so connected, we feel like we have these tribes around us because they're on our screens, on our laptops, and our earbuds, but I think God designed us for real community. I think when we live all our lives in this very curated space that, you know, everything looks better with photo filters, let's just admit that, it can feel, one, very weighty. We can always feel lesser than when we're putting our everyday lives against that, you know, leaning it up against that curated message from online. But I also think when you're only looking to blogs, and I say that and I'm a blogger by trade, but when you're only looking towards blogs and online social media accounts, and you're only getting the support network online and you're not getting it in real life, you might feel like you have a tribe, but God designed us for real life relationships for a reason.
I 100% agree. I really, really do. And I'm a huge online social person. I have so many dear friends that I connect with online, but I really feel like we need more in-person relationships. And I'm not sure how to go about working back in that direction. But it's definitely something I think we should talk about with one another. Okay, well, that is an interesting topic that we could go on and on about. But I want to talk with you about another concept that you describe in your book, and that is homeschool calling. So I felt called to be a homeschooling mom. I didn't want to be a homeschooling mom, but I felt called to do it. And I think it's an interesting question to consider. If a mother doesn't necessarily feel called to homeschool, and, you know, maybe she's only doing it because she has problems with her child's current school, maybe she has a child being bullied, maybe she just wants a more flexible schedule. So what do you think about calling in that kind of a situation?
Well, I'm a firm believer that nothing in life is by accident, and God has his providential hand in every piece of our lives. So my in-laws, you know, like I said, homeschooled back in the 80s. And at the time when they decided to take that, you know, really uncharted course, it was, they would admit that they didn't feel like it was a calling from God. They didn't hear a booming voice or read a particular scripture or see a neon sign. You know, none of the fleeces were out. But my husband went through a series of physical medical issues that required him to be at home and have a public school tutor come to the house and tutor him. And that lasted for about 3 years. And it was during that time that they began to see him thrive in that kind of environment. And at the end of that 3-year stint, they just thought, well, it's working. You know, why upset the apple cart? Let's just keep doing this thing. And somebody might look at that circumstance and say, well, they weren't really called. They just sort of came in through the back door. But I would disagree with that. I do know of moms and have heard from moms who have homeschooled for, you know, all of those types of reasons. You know, I have kids who like to sleep in the morning, and just the thought of having to yank them out of bed makes me itch. Or I have a husband who has odd hours and I want my kids to be able to spend time with him. They have all kinds of reasons stacked up. But I would say it was God who orchestrated your circumstances. And maybe it was those circumstances, those very circumstances, that he has used to call you to homeschooling, to take all the other options away until that's the only one left. I see that as a calling, only because I know that in his providence, he's always walking the road to Emmaus with us, whether we recognize it as him or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree as well that, you know, it doesn't have to be something we can point to like what I really had, which was, I felt when I was loading the groceries into the car one day that God said to me, not in an audible voice, but I felt it in my spirit, you should homeschool. Mm. And I thought, yeah, I don't want to do that. And then it was just a journey after that. But I can also see that apart from that quote-unquote calling, that the circumstances were arranged in such a way that I was led to homeschool. Mm-hmm. And I do believe that if you feel called or led, let's say led, if you feel led to homeschool or do something else, that you can ask God to put an obstacle in your path if that's not what he wants you to do. And I believe that he will do just that.
Right, to shut the door and make it clear. Yeah, God isn't holding his will, you know, in his tight little grasp, expecting you to pry it from his firm, steely grasp. He is open-handed. And so you just pray and seek his will and step out in obedience. And expect that if that's not the right way, that he will shut that door. And if you are holding everything about your child's childhood, including their education, out with an open hand, he will direct you.
Yes, agreed. Well, if we have a mom who's listening who is considering homeschooling, or maybe she's already begun, and she has some naysayers, I've called them on my podcast homeschool haters, in her life, what do you have to say to that mom who is really struggling with these unsupportive people in her life?
Well, like anything in life, you are always going to come up against naysayers. And naysayers will always shout from the curb while you are down in the trenches doing the work. So my biggest piece of advice for anybody who's hearing naysayers, and sometimes, sadly, the naysayers are the people closest to you, those who are supposed to be supporting you and are supposed to be speaking words of life into you and into your home, and they're just criticizing it and cutting it down. I would say resist the urge to return snark for snark, because you're never going to pull somebody over the party line by giving back snark. You're never going to convince them that this is the right path for you. Your children will be the proof. So at the end of the journey, just let your kids be the evidence that, yes, this was the right way for us. And just allow that to speak volumes. The other thing I would say is, if you can just look at the criticism through a lens of grace, that sometimes helps. I have received more than my share of criticism as a public school and then later a private school teacher. I did cross the party lines and I had a bullet or a target on my back. So I received a lot of criticisms, not just from people in my relational circles, but also professional circles. I had to look at that through a lens of grace and just recognize that sometimes when we choose a different way, people interpret that to mean, well, in not choosing my way, you're not choosing me. And they take it very personally. And in our humanness, our natural response is to take up the offense and to give out snark. And that's just human nature. I do it too. You know, I can thump the Bible really hard to try to prove that homeschooling is the best way, even though, to be quite honest, I don't think homeschooling is a religious dogma. I actually think it's a Christian liberty. You know, it's a freedom to choose. So I don't really even think homeschooling is for everyone or for every Christian. But I certainly on my rough days can take my Bible and find all the right verses that says all the right things to prove points and jockey for rightness. That's just my human nature. So I think if we could remember that and just close our mouths, put our heads down and do the work and just dismiss those voices. Listen to the voices that really matter. And really and truly, that's just God's voice. If he's called you to do this, that's the well done you need to be working for.
So good. And I think you're 100% correct about people feel like it's a criticism of them sometimes that we're homeschooling. I have had people say to me why they're not homeschooling, as though I'm expecting them to justify that decision to me, which I'm not.
Right. Right.
So I think you're very wise in bringing up that point. So let's say you have decided to homeschool and now you're into the process of homeschooling and lo and behold, you are overwhelmed. You are a mom who is struggling to juggle all the roles, and there are more roles than we even imagined there would be of being a good wife, mother, teacher, and still keeping up relationships and maybe church service, community service. And what do you say to this mom?
Yeah, and there's really no way that you can do it all and be it all. You know, I've often heard the adage, you know, you pick two things and do those things well today and everything else is going to go by the wayside. And while I think that's, there's some truth to that, I also know that as a mom, certain balls just cannot drop. I mean, I cannot just dismiss my toddler and my preschooler over here and let them just go by the wayside while I'm stuck here at the school table doing school. So it's a matter of living in the tension between being a mom and a wife and a teacher and a discipler and a member of my church community and a member of my neighborhood. And that can be tough because there's lots of fires that really need to be put out daily, especially in your home school, but you don't want to neglect these other areas. One thing that's really helped me is to have themed work days. And I have talked about this on my blog. If you think back to the Little House on the Prairie series, and Ma Ingalls had her chore days, you know, wash on Monday, iron on Tuesday. I'm so glad I don't have to do that. If I iron one shirt, I sing my sad song. But I have other types of work. You know, I don't have those same jobs that Ma Ingalls had, but I certainly have my share of work. And so I decided several years ago that I would implement that same type of strategy. Obviously, homeschooling takes a pretty big chunk of the day, and I'm committed to that. And so I carve out certain hours in my day where I have to say, this is my work for now. And it would be really easy for me to, you know, go to that coffee date with a friend or sign up for that Bible study. In fact, just today I was asked to lead a Bible study. And while that's really great work, I know that right now in this season, that's not my work to do. And so I had to give a hard no to that in order that I can give a hard yes to homeschooling during, you know, these certain chunk hours of the day. And then after school, I sat down one day and I looked at my schedule and I found, you know, from 3 to 5, I have a pretty open schedule. My kids are with me all day. We're at the school table by 3 o'clock. They're ready to not see me again for a while. So they kind of scatter. Obviously, I don't have babies and toddlers anymore, and my life at that time looked a little different. So I just want to speak to those listeners of yours who might have babies and toddlers. This would have to sort of evolve a little bit and get tweaked for your sake if you do have little ones. So from 3 to 5, I looked at my schedule, and I thought, well, this is a time where I could do some really focused, intentional work in certain areas of my work life or my ministry life or my homekeeping life. So I made a list of 5 or 6 of the biggest key areas of work that I have to do. And for me, you know, I'm a work at home mom, so I've got some work responsibilities. I obviously don't want to have my house looking like a set from Hoarders. So, you know, cleaning my house was a big one on my list. And so I made my list of 5 or 6 of the different tasks that constantly have me being pulled in all different directions. And I just assigned one to each day. And it's not that I just turn a blind eye to all the other things. Like, for instance, if Monday is my work day and I work from 3 to 5, it's not that I can just ignore this big spilled, you know, pile of juice on the floor. It's just that I can really lean into that time and give it focused attention on this amount of work. And because I'm doing that, I'm getting some forward motion in every single area of my, you know, tasks. So I generally keep 5 running lists throughout the week, 1 list for each of those areas. So that way, on Monday, when it's my work day, I can just look at that list and get right to work. I don't even have to spend any mental energy thinking about, okay, I have to work today. What do I want to work on? I just have my tasks written out for me. And then Tuesday, when it's my day to bake, I've already listed, you know, what are the things that I want to bake to put away to freeze for my family for the rest of the week. So I'm just focusing on one area every day because I can't. If I try to expel all my energy to do everything, I'm going to end up doing a lot of things with mediocrity. Mm-hmm. So I want to focus on one thing apart from, you know, being a mom, being a homeschool mom, and do that with excellence for a couple of hours every day.
That's excellent. I like that. And I really liked what you said a bit ago about living in the tension. I find that so many moms think that they have to find that place of perfect peace, and that will tell them that they're doing it right. And there isn't that place. There is not that place. And in fact, I believe that the Lord uses that tension between our roles to keep us close to Him and dependent on Him. If we had that perfect peace, like, yeah, I have got it together, then we would be caught up in pride and we wouldn't be close to the Lord and dependent on Him. So I hope that people will take that to heart as well. So if you feel that constant pull between all the roles that you have, then you're normal. You're very normal.
And just to piggyback on that, you know, it's really easy for us as homeschool moms to think, okay, homeschooling is going to be the tool or the catalyst that God will use to refine my child, to grow them in patience, to file off all their sharp edges so they can be more kind and more humble and more loving and more caring. But homeschooling, I found, is where moms become more too. Because when we get to the very end of our rope, what's left if we're looking in the right direction, is Jesus. And we find that he's all we have to rely on. And like you said, we grow more dependent on him when we have that struggle, when we're living in that tension. And I think that's one area where God has used homeschooling to teach me so much about my Christian walk and leaning wholeheartedly on him.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That has been my experience as well. Well, I am interested in knowing, Jamie, what was the impetus for you writing the book Homeschool Bravely? I know there are a number of great homeschooling books out there. So what makes this book different?
Well, I think there's a plethora of really great homeschool how-to books. I can rattle off a number of them that help point my feet in a great direction when I was new at this thing and just needing some direction. But I found over the last 7 or 8 years of blogging, I began to receive lots of messages, emails from moms from all over the world. And they would send me messages that sounded like this. I'm looking for a curriculum to help this child of mine who likes X, Y, and Z, but doesn't like A, B, or C. Mm-hmm. Or I need some direction for what to do with my toddler while I'm doing high school with my high schooler. And all the questions were very different, and they sounded very practical. But when I stayed in the conversation long enough, it started to take a bit of a turn. Because what was underneath all of those questions was this one idea. Across the board, every single email I've ever gotten in the last 7 years, no matter what the woman has asked me, there's this underlying fear under every email. I think I'm doing this wrong. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'm doing it right. I kind of think I'm ruining my kids. And so I went looking for a resource. I went back to the stack of homeschool books that I had used years ago, those how-to books, and went looking for sort of an all-in-one silver bullet answer to give them, to answer those heart cries. And I came up dry. I just couldn't find something that didn't just give them another, you know, five-step process or a book list to refer to or a check sheet to mark off that. I wanted to give them a resource that just pointed their gaze back to God's good plans for their kids. And so I went looking and I didn't find anything, and I began to mull over that idea. And then it was shortly after some of these thoughts started sort of mixing around in my head, I had a conversation at the library. My son and I were at the library checking out books, and he began chatting with one of the librarians, and she pulled me aside and was just so impressed with how articulate he was, and she wanted to tell me how mannerly he was and articulate. And then she asked where he went to school, and I said, well, we homeschool. And instantly the conversation took a really bad turn. Oh. And, you know, she started throwing out all the words that the naysayers do and questioning my every decision. And I let that go on for a little while. And then I just said, well, you know, I do have a teaching degree, and I've taught dozens and dozens upon dozens of kids. And that shut her mouth. Mm-hmm. And I went on with my day. Well, later that day, I had a conversation with my best friend who also homeschools, but who doesn't have a teaching degree. And I was relaying the conversation that I had had at the library. And she said, well, Jamie, how did you end up, you know, dismissing that, those negative voices, or what did you say to her? And I said, well, I just told her I have a teaching degree. And then she stopped talking. Mm. And my friend got really silent and almost teared up and said, you're one of the lucky ones because you get to say that. Mm-hmm. And it hit me. I had never even thought of that. All these years we had been friends, all these years we had homeschooled side by side, I knew she was an exceptional homeschool mom and doing a wonderful job. I had never even thought of that. And here, my friend who had been homeschooling all these years didn't have like the perfect retort to give to the naysayers. She didn't have that shiny piece of paper or the letters behind her name that proves she can do this. even though I knew she was doing it. And it was then that God just started putting this idea of homeschooling with bravery in my heart.
Mm. Well, I love the subtitle for your book, Jamie, How to Squash Doubt, Trust God, and Teach Your Child with Confidence. And mm-hmm. I know your book is coming out very soon. I think on the day that this podcast is being released, can you give us a quick rundown of what we can expect to find there?
Well, I think I've given you the cliff notes today. You've asked all the right questions. I think my book, well, I hope my book will help a mom just face her fears and what she perceives as faults and failures, and give her some real practical tools, but mostly plenty of encouragement to just help her find the courage that is hers all along in Christ. I hope that I can help her quiet the voices of not good enough.
Well, I love that. And that is definitely my mission to homeschooling moms as well. So I am so thankful that you came on. My listeners love this kind of encouragement. So I'm very grateful that you took the time to share with us today, Jamie. Now, how can my listeners connect with you and get a copy of Homeschool Bravely?
Well, I'm embarrassingly easy to find on the web. You can find me at theunlikelyhomeschool.com, on Facebook and Instagram. I also am the co-host of the Mom to Mom podcast with Kate Battistelli and September McCarthy. So you can find us at momtomompodcast.com and also on Instagram. And I will say, if you grab this book, you can find it anywhere that books are sold, Amazon and Barnes and Noble and all the places. But if you get it before April 2nd, you can also download my free 52-page e-guide, The Quick Start Guide to Brave Homeschool Schedules.
Now, will we find that at The Unlikely Homeschool?
You can find it at theunlikelyhomeschool.com, or you can also find it just at homeschoolbravely.com.
Okay, perfect. I will definitely put those links in the show notes for people. Jamie, thank you so much again. I am really excited for the book's release.
Thank you so much for having me, Melanie. I appreciate it.
To find the book and the links for connecting with Jamie, go to homeschoolsanity.com/bravely. Join me next week for a discussion of mastery curriculum and whether the approach is a good fit for your family. Thanks again to Time for Learning for sponsoring the podcast. Have a happy homeschool week.
Thank you for joining me for the Homeschool Sanity Show. This has been a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.